Okay, so we're diving into something pretty interesting today. A legal case called Harvest Rice versus Lehman Elevator. And from what I've seen so far, it looks like it's all about how everyday business dealings can sometimes end up having some serious legal implications.
Yeah, exactly. Especially when we start talking about things like the statute of frauds and how it applies to agreements between merchants.
And I think a lot of people are probably wondering, how something as simple as sending a fax could end up having such a big impact on a business deal, especially when you're talking about a transaction between, experienced professionals.
Absolutely.
So our mission today is to really try to break this case down, cut through all the legal jargon and figure out what it really tells us about how contracts are actually formed and confirmed in the business world.
Sounds good to me.
Now, what's really interesting is that we have all sorts of different materials to work with here. We've got the actual details of the case itself. We've got some guidance that lays out the background.
Yeah.
We've got a detailed legal brief that even includes perplexity analysis, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, that is interesting.
And then we've even got a standard brief that summarizes all the main legal points. So by piecing all of this together, I think we can get a really clear picture of what exactly went down between Harvest Rice and Lehman Elevator and why this case even matters in the first place.
I think so too. And what's really fascinating to me is how a case about, what seems like a pretty standard business transaction, buying and selling a large quantity of rice, actually ended up being decided by the Arkansas Supreme Court.
Wow. Okay, so this was a pretty big deal then.
It was. And, at its core, we're really looking at a dispute over whether a verbal agreement for a lot of goods, in this case 67,500 hundredweights of rice to be exact, was legally binding. Especially when there wasn't a signed written contract between the two companies.
Right, so no formal contract. Okay, so let's back up a bit and set the scene here. What exactly happened between these two companies, Harvest Rice and Lehman Elevator?
Sure, so the background is really important here. You got Harvest Rice, they're the buyer, and Lehman Elevator, they're the seller. They had some discussions, back and forth about a possible rice deal. And then after these discussions on April 1st, 2003, Harvest Rice sent something called a buyer report to Lehman, and they sent it by fax.
Okay, a buyer report. So this was like a formal document or?
Yeah, it wasn't just like a casual email or anything like that. This buyer report actually had a ton of specific information about the potential transaction. It wasn't just, hey, we want to buy some rice. It was really detailed.
What kind of details are we talking about here?
Well, it laid out the exact quantity of rice they wanted to buy, which was that 67,500 weights we mentioned. It listed the price they agreed on, which was $5.10 per unit plus shipping costs. There was a delivery date of May 31st, 2003.
Wow, they really spelled it all out.
They did. And there was even more stuff in there, like details about payment terms and the quality standards the rice had to meet. So it was a pretty comprehensive document.
So it sounds like they were pretty serious about this deal. Then how did Lehman respond to all of this?
Well, that's where things get a little bit tricky.
Mm-hmm.
Lehman claimed that they didn't get the fax right away. They said their fax machine was out of paper, and because of that, they didn't actually see the buyer report for a few days.
Oh, so there was a delay. Okay, so then...
So it wasn't until April 15th, 2 whole weeks after Harvest Rice sent the fax, that Lehman finally sent a letter back to Harvest Rice. And in this letter, they objected to the terms that were outlined in the buyer report. And they said they couldn't go through with the sale as it was described in the report.
So they basically said no deal.
Pretty much, yeah. And, the thing is, there was never an official signed contract between these two companies.
Right. You said that earlier. No formal written agreement or anything like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And because of that, Lehman argued that any kind of verbal agreement they might have had with Harvest Rice wasn't actually legally enforceable. And their argument was based on something called the statute of frauds.
Okay, I've heard of that. But remind me again how the statute of frauds works.
Sure. So basically, the statute of frauds says that for certain types of contracts, specifically for contracts involving the sale of goods above a certain value, those contracts have to be in writing and they have to be signed by the person or the company that you're trying to enforce the contract against. And in Arkansas, where this case took place, that dollar threshold is $500. So for anything worth more than $500, you need a written and signed contract.
Okay. That makes sense. So if there's no signed contract, then there's no deal.
And not so fast. There are actually some exceptions to the statute of frauds. And that's where this merchant's exception that we talked about earlier comes into play.
Right. Okay, so tell me more about that. How does this merchant's exception change things?
So the merchant's exception basically says that there are certain situations where a written and signed contract isn't absolutely necessary. And this exception is part of something called the Uniform Commercial Code, or the UCC, which is a set of laws that govern business transactions in the United States. And Arkansas has adopted the UCC, so it applies in this case.
Okay, so the UCC is like the rule book for business deals.
Yes,
got it.
Exactly. And the idea behind this merchant's exception is that in the business world, when you've got experienced professionals who are dealing with each other all the time, there are certain assumptions you can make about their understanding of things and their intent to do business together.
I see. So you're saying that because the professionals, they don't necessarily need everything spelled out in a formal contract every single time.
Right. And the UCC actually has a specific section that lays out how this merchant's exception works. It's section 2-201 subsection 2.
2-201 subsection 2.
Okay. I'll try to remember that. Don't worry about memorizing it. But basically what it says is that if you have two merchants who make an oral agreement for the sale of goods, and then one of those merchants sends a written confirmation of that agreement to the other merchant within a reasonable amount of time, then the merchant who receives the confirmation has a limited window of time to object. If they don't object in writing within 10 days of receiving the confirmation, then that oral agreement can actually become legally enforceable, even though there was never a formal signed contract.
Wow, so that's a pretty big exception.
It is. And in this case, Harvest Rice was arguing that their faxed buyer report actually served as that written confirmation of their oral agreement with Lehman.
So they were saying, look, we had a verbal agreement, and then we sent this detailed buyer report to confirm it. That's enough to make it a binding contract.
Exactly. And they pointed to the level of detail that was included in the report as evidence that it wasn't just, you know, a random offer or part of an ongoing negotiation. They were saying, no, this was a record of an actual agreement that we had already reached verbally.
Okay, so I get their argument. But Lehman did object to the terms eventually, even if it was 2 weeks after they got the fax. So how did the courts handle that, particularly considering this 10-day window for objections?
Well, the trial court initially sided with Lehman. They granted something called summary judgment in favor of Lehman.
Summary judgment. What does that mean?
Basically, summary judgment means that the court decides the case without actually holding a full trial.
Yeah.
Because they believe that there's no real dispute about the important facts of the case.
Oh.
So in this situation, the trial court said that the buyer report wasn't enough to meet the requirements of the merchant's exception. And because of that, there was no legally enforceable contract between the two companies.
Okay, so case closed. Right.
Well, not quite.
Yeah.
Harvest Rice actually appealed the trial court's decision,
mm-hmm.
and they took the case to the Arkansas Supreme Court. And that's where things got really interesting.
Okay, here's where we get to the good stuff. So what happened at the Supreme Court level?
Well, the Arkansas Supreme Court actually disagreed with the trial court's decision. They reversed the trial court's grant of summary judgment, and they sent the case back to the trial court for further proceedings. That's called remanding the case.
So they basically said, hang on a second, we need to take another look at this.
Exactly. And their reasoning for doing that was really important. They looked very closely at what was actually written in the buyer report, and they compared it to the facts of another case that they had decided previously, a case called Walmart Stores Incorporated versus PACA Food Marketing Incorporated.
Walmart versus PACA. Okay, I'm following.
So in that Walmart case, the court had decided that certain emails that were exchanged between the parties about a land deal weren't good enough to satisfy the statute of frauds because those emails didn't have specific terms in them that clearly showed that there was a final agreement.
Okay, so the emails in the Walmart case were too vague, but how was Harvest Rice's buyer report different?
That's the key point. The Supreme Court said that the big difference between those Walmart emails and the buyer report in this case was the level of detail that was included in the buyer report. They pointed out that the buyer report in the Harvest Rice case had 10 very specific terms. It wasn't just, you know, basic stuff like how much rice, how much it cost, and when it would be delivered. It had all sorts of additional details about who the buyer and seller were, the exact type of rice that was being sold, the payment terms, even extra comments that clarified certain aspects of the transaction.
Wow, so they were really thorough, which I guess is a good thing if you're trying to prove that you had an agreement.
Exactly. The court said that all of that detail showed that the buyer report wasn't just an offer or part of an ongoing negotiation. It looked a lot more like it was actually a confirmation of a deal that they had already made verbally.
I see. So it's not that the fax itself created the contract. It's that the fax served as proof that they had already reached an agreement before the fax was even sent.
That's exactly right. And the Supreme Court really emphasized that the purpose of this merchant's exception to the statute of frauds is to get rid of the requirement for a written contract when there's already written evidence that a verbal agreement existed between two merchants.
Okay, so the fax is like a paper trail.
Exactly.
Hmm.
And that written evidence doesn't have to be a super formal signed contract.
Okay.
It just has to be detailed enough to show that there was a real agreement and to outline the key terms of that agreement.
Got it. So then what about the fact that Lehman did eventually object to the terms in the buyer report, even though it was after that 10-day window had passed? Did that matter to the Supreme Court?
Well, the timing of Lehman's objection, you know, the fact that it took them 2 weeks to respond was definitely something that the Supreme Court considered. But their decision to reverse the trial court's summary judgment was mostly focused on whether the buyer report itself was good enough to be considered a written confirmation under the merchant's exception. And they said, yes, it was. They said that as a matter of law, the level of detail in the buyer report was enough to meet that legal requirement.
So they were basically saying the buyer report ticks all the boxes.
Pretty much, yeah. But it's important to remember that the Supreme Court didn't actually say for sure that a contract existed. They just said that there was enough evidence to allow the case to go to trial. They sent it back to the trial court and said, okay, now a jury needs to decide whether there was really a verbal agreement between these two companies before that buyer report was ever sent.
So even though the buyer report was good enough to satisfy the statute of frauds because of the merchant's exception, it still wasn't the end of the story.
Right. It just meant that the case could move forward. And at trial, the jury would have to look at all the evidence that both sides presented. You know, all those initial discussions, the actual content of the buyer report, Lehman's actions after they got the facts. And based on all of that, they would have to decide whether it was more likely than not that Harvest Rice and Lehman had actually reached a verbal agreement about the sale of the rice before that buyer report was ever sent.
So there were still a lot of questions to be answered.
Definitely. And what's really striking to me about this whole case is how something as seemingly ordinary as sending a detailed fax could actually have such big legal and financial consequences in the business world.
Yeah, we talked about that at the beginning, but it's really hitting home now. And, you know, the comparison with that Walmart case is a really good illustration of how important the specific words that are used in these business communications can be.
Absolutely. Like in that Walmart case, they had phrases in the emails like, we still need to finalize things, which showed that they were still in the middle of negotiations and they hadn't actually reached a final agreement yet. But in the Harvest Rice case, the language in the buyer report was much more definite. It presented the information as if it was already a done deal.
So their wording made a big difference.
Huge difference. The Arkansas Supreme Court even pointed out a specific phrase from their own opinion in the Harvest Rice case. They said that the report appears to show a prior oral agreement.
So that idea of whether the document suggests a pre-existing agreement, that was really important to the court's decision.
It was central to their decision. So based on all of this, what are the main takeaways from this Harvest Rice versus Lehman elevator case? You know, especially for lawyers who deal with these kinds of contracts and even for business owners themselves.
Yeah, let's break it down. What are the practical lessons here?
Well, for transactional lawyers,
yeah.
You know, the ones who actually draft these confirmations of agreements, this case really shows how important it is to be super careful and thorough when you're writing those documents. It's not enough to just send a quick follow-up email or fax. You really need to include all the important terms of the agreement, and you need to be specific about things like the quantity, the price, the delivery terms, the payment schedule, anything that's really important to the deal.
So basically, dot your I's and cross your T's.
Exactly. And then for litigators, you know, the lawyers who handle these kinds of disputes in court, this case highlights how important it is to really dig into the details and figure out the exact timeline of when things happened, you know, when communications were sent, when objections were made. All of that can be really crucial evidence.
Right, because even though the Supreme Court's decision in this case was focused on the content of that buyer report, Lehman's delay in responding was still a big part of the story.
Absolutely. And for business owners who are out there buying and selling goods every day, I think the most important lesson here is to remember that everything you put in writing, even something as informal as a fax or an email, could potentially have legal consequences. So it's really important to be careful about what you say and how you say it.
So no more firing off quick emails without thinking about it.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. But you should always take a moment to review anything you send in writing, especially if it's related to a business deal. And if you get a written confirmation from another business about an agreement, you need to read it carefully and right away. If you disagree with any of the terms, or if you don't think there was ever an agreement in the first place, you absolutely have to send a written objection within 10 days. That 10-day window is really important because if you miss it, you could end up being bound to a contract that you didn't actually want.
Right, so don't sleep on your rights.
Exactly. And remember, a formal signed contract isn't always necessary for this merchant's exception to apply. A detailed written confirmation that reflects a verbal agreement that already existed can be enough. So make sure that anything you send in writing accurately reflects what you believe the agreement to be.
So in this Harvest Rice and Lehman Elevator case, that fax buyer report wasn't just a piece of paper. It was a potential obligation for over $344,000 worth of rice, and all because of how detailed it was and because Lehman didn't respond to it quickly enough.
That's exactly right. And it really goes to show you how important it is to understand these seemingly small details of commercial law.
Yeah.
You know, they can have a huge impact on your business.
Absolutely. So what does this all mean for you?
Well, I think the big takeaway from our deep dive into Harvest Rice versus Lehman Elevator is that even casual communications between businesses, like sending a fax or an email, can have real legal weight in the commercial world. The key isn't just having an agreement, it's making sure that agreement is documented and confirmed in a clear and legally sound way, especially when you're dealing with other merchants.
And as we've seen, the devil is really in the details. The level of specificity in Harvest Rice's buyer report, you know, all those details about quantity, price, delivery date, and all that, is what made it more than just a simple negotiation in the eyes of the court.
Right. And this case also shows us how crucial it is to respond to things in a timely manner in business. Lehman's delay in objecting to that fax report was a big factor in how this whole thing played out legally.
Absolutely. So at the end of the day, the court said that the buyer report could be considered a written confirmation of a potential verbal agreement under this merchant's exception. But they didn't actually decide whether there was a real agreement or not. They left that up to a jury to figure out.
And that brings us to a really important question that I think all of our listeners should consider. In your own field or in your future career, what steps can you take to make sure that your agreements are clear and well-documented, especially in those fast-paced work environments where a lot of communication happens informally?
That's a great question. And maybe a good place to start is to really dig into the specific requirements of the UCC as it applies to your area of business. Mm-hmm. You know, familiarize yourself with those rules and make sure you're following them.
I think that's excellent advice.
Well, this has been a really fascinating deep dive. It just goes to show you that you can find legal lessons in the most unexpected places, even in a case about a whole bunch of rice.
I agree. It's been a pleasure unpacking this with you.
Likewise. Until next time.
See you then.
Bye.